Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's a big week here on the Steve Jones Show as we get ready for the Super Bowl. Lots of basketball to talk about, both on the high school side and college side, as the March Madness countdown begins and people start getting their brackets around.
Tonight is the Iowa caucus, and tonight I will be there.
You're going to Iowa?
Yes, I'm in Iowa tonight.
Okay.
How about that one?
Was there a basketball game that got moved or something?
No, we have to go. We have to go tonight. We can't go tomorrow night because of the blizzard.
Oh, that's right. There is a little bit of snow going on out there. I forgot.
A little? They're calling it a blizzard.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, in all honesty, I mean no disrespect to weather, to meteorologists, but everything lately has been a blizzard. I mean, every time it snows, it's a blizzard.
Technically a blizzard, you have to have winds of sustained for 35 miles per hour plus.
Correct.
I know with this, they're talking about winds between 30 and 50 miles per hour. So we have to go tonight. So Dick Girardi and I have decided that since we're going tonight and the Iowa caucus is tonight, we've decided we're going to disrupt the whole thing.
I'm not sure you're going to be allowed to caucus. I'm just taking a guess here.
Oh, contraire, mon frere. Okay? We already have worked out through Photoshop IDs where he's Fran McCaffrey and I'm Kirk Ferentz, both residents of the area.
All right. Well, you know, if you could pull that off, it would not say a lot for my confidence in politics right now.
Excuse me. Okay, that's not a Mensa convention. All right. I've watched how the country's been run over the last few years. Okay, Mensa's not a word I describe for in terms of the political process. All the commissioners don't like it. Then do something about it. Do something good. Okay.
So you're going to be on. You're going to be in the air. You won't be able to hear Shamokin Shikellamy basketball tonight, and that's going to be a great game. Might actually be the game of the year.
Game of the year? No, it's. I mean, people in Ohio are going to be excited.
Game of the year in high school basketball, at least in this area, anyway.
Modern day is facing who?
I just told you what was happening.
You said it was the game of the year in high school basketball
in this area. Yes.
Oh, in this area?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I'm willing to concede this area. I'm not going to say it's the game of high school basketball. Period. In this area, with all due respect to teams like Lewisburg and Pottsville, this is a matchup that I think at this point of the season, everybody's been waiting for.
And Roman Catholic and Bishop Newman.
Now, I think if Shamokin plays Lewisburg, that will become a very interesting matchup in a district tournament or in the Heartland Conference tournament, whichever it may happen. I think it will happen in one of them. At least I hope it will, because I think that would be fun to see the undefeated Lewisburg Green Dragons play the, at this point, once defeated Shamokin Indians.
Sounds like fun.
Beach.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
All kidding aside, tonight's game is going to be the game to be at in the area. You have Shikellamy comes in with two losses, one to Shamokin, one to Lewisburg, quality losses. Shamokin with one loss to Pottsville, again, quality loss.
Nothing like a quality loss.
and this game will, if not decide the conference in Division One, it will sure go a long way into deciding who takes the lead and wins the conference in Division One. And it could also mean the difference between being a 2 seed or even a 3 or 4 seed in the district playoffs. And it could also mean the difference between making the Heartland Conference tournament or not making it. There's a lot riding in this game.
Stakes are high.
Stakes are high. You have 3 players for Shamokin averaging in double figures right now. There's 3 players for Shikellamy averaging in double figures right now. Both teams averaging 60-plus points a game. Shikellamy, I think, is giving up now 43 points a game defensively.
Huh.
That's a pretty good number.
Well, sounds like it's a big game.
It will be the showdown at Shamokin. Clever.
Have you already written an open?
No, we're going to wing this one.
Wow. Okay. Let's see the rundown here. What time's Nathan Davis on?
3:35 is the scheduled time.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That floats. That's why I was asking, to make sure.
Yes.
We have Tony Knopp today, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management on the business of sports. And we have Joe Person today from the Charlotte Observer from Super Bowl Media Day. To go with that, Kevin's done a great job of lining up these two guests that are difference-making guests in the show. This is where you can accept the applause.
I just like to let it speak for itself.
There you go. And I'll do all the speaking to all of them. Okay.
That'd be fine. Because it is your name on the show.
Yes. All right. That's what we have on the show today. We're going to do a lot on California. And
there's so many things to talk to Tony Knopp about right now.
And we will. We will get to that with him. Whoops. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that very much on today's show. Kevin has topics that he's also relayed to today's show. Let me just see here. Okay, let's get to your topics here. Your topics are as follows. New TV deal, Thursday Night Football, CBS gets 5, NBC gets 5, NFL Network gets 8. Why break it up? Is it money?
I thought it was strange that they broke it up between NBC and CBS this year.
What the heck is this? Madden game says final winning. Oh, come on.
There's the last. No. Read me the last. It hit it dead on last year with the score. Now, I realize it was the score, but I thought it was interesting that they actually announced what the play was. It was on the last play, and guess what happened when the Panthers scored the touchdown? Guess how the touchdown happened.
I don't know.
Cam Newton leaping over the goal line.
You're going to tell us anyway. All right. Okay. Yeah, it's a video game.
Panthers win at 24-20.
It's a video game.
I know that. But it's a statistical video game. They're playing it. They don't actually manually control the players. They play it simulated, so it's based on statistics.
But then don't bother doing tonight's game. Maybe there's a Madden video game of Shemokin and Shikala. I mean, you don't have to
That would be awesome. I would buy that game.
Yeah, but it also would mean you wouldn't have to do it.
Well, that doesn't mean that's exactly what's going to happen. I find it interesting to see what happens in these games and how closely the real game plays to the statistical game.
My head's starting to hurt.
Hey, you brought this up the last time. Remember that. That was not me. You brought it up once, too.
About what?
About a Madden, the Madden play, the Madden predicting the playoffs.
No, I think whatever I said about them was insulting to them, but I mean, that's...
Probably was, but...
It's a kid's game.
Don't say that to the 35 pluses that buy that game.
Oh, God. Well, I think I know why I brought it. I thought I brought it up in context of Kirk Herbstreit. That Ed O'Bannon ruined it for everybody else. I think that's where I brought it up.
Yeah, I don't remember what the context was.
Yeah. It wasn't in the context of it's awesome and incredible, let's sell more. We'll come back with more in a moment. I mean, God, you put this in the rundown? We got 5,000 great. We got Tony Knopp on today. We got a guy from the Super. What other show around here, okay, within a radius or whatever, has a guy from the Super Bowl on and a guy to tell us about L.A. expansion and the whole thing plus the Bucknell coach on, and you're talking about a video game?
We span the world. We span the globe to bring you a constant variety in sports.
Well,
wait, do I owe ABC some money on that?
Here, take the topic and that one there, flush it. Gone. Into the sewer system and down there with the rats. It's a video game. Every once in a while, like Thursday Night Football deal, great topic. Duke out of top 25, great topic. Dean Blandino catch rule, mediocre topic. Okay? All right. Hey, here's one for you. Okay? You got to take the TV deal and expand it. Okay? What's the top out number? Listen to what Tony says today. Tony and I are going to talk about, has the Super Bowl topped out with the corporate partners? Why is it tickets are selling for lower numbers? Why? You didn't realize that, did you?
I remember last year they were selling for lower numbers.
Super Bowl tickets went down again this year. And you're talking about some video thing and some guy leaping over the top in a video game. It's not a video game, it's real life. I know you love your video game. I got it. Did you buy Madden?
It's interesting. I think this is life? No, it's interesting because I find it interesting.
How many times did you play the game this year?
The new one? I haven't yet because it's only available on, I think, PS4 and the Xbox One, and I don't have either one.
Yeah. Okay, did you play your old one this year?
Yes.
How often?
Not as often this year. It's only 4 or 5 times.
I mean, we can, if you want, you're big on musical bumps. Why don't you break out as we come out of this commercial break? Roy Orbison's Only the Lonely. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
More in tune with Only the Lonely as Kevin sits there with his little clicker trying to beat his son in a video game, but that's all right. Has he ever beaten you?
No. No, I actually play the computer more often than I play him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
His whole idea is how far can I run the safety to the goalpost and make him do funny things while the computer throws a post pattern and scores touchdown after touchdown. Like, you do know this is a smart AI. Like, it will learn from your mistakes, right? He sees the safety disappear. It's a post pattern every time. I know, it's funny. I'm like, yeah, it's funny to you.
Okay. All right. So, here we go. let's see. Joe Person today, Charlotte Observer, Nathan Davis, Bucknell Basketball, Tony Knopf, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. Tomorrow and Wednesday's shows will both be from Iowa because we have to go tonight with the impending storm that is rolling in there. We had two choices. Well, I started getting a series of texts last night about we may have to leave tomorrow. And I was like, why? And normally I check the weather ahead of time, but I don't usually check the weather till I'm about ready to go on Tuesday for a Wednesday game. So I hadn't looked to see what it's going to be like out there. And all of a sudden it was like, the big issue is it's not just the snow, but they're talking about 30 to 50 mile per hour winds tomorrow. And, of course, trying to fly into that. So our options were simple. Go tonight. Or it was suggested about the possibility of going in Wednesday and trying to do it all in one day. And it's not as if we have not done it before. The furthest we've ever had to do it, we've done it with Ohio State. We've done it with St. Bonaventure. The furthest we've ever done it was Tennessee once. Flew into Knoxville. Actually won the game by a dozen, then flew back.
Well, they're not really calling for that much snow in Iowa City, are they?
Well, they're talking about the winds are the big issue.
Right. Well, I know the winds are going to be like 30, 40 mile an hour.
Right. Well, you know.
That would be tough to land a plane. I get it.
Okay. You know, I know you go by car a lot. Okay. Let me tell you, it's a little difficult coming in.
I worry more. Yeah, you're right. I'm more of the on-the-ground type of travel. So, yeah, I don't have that wind issue as much.
Yeah, so that's what they're worried about, is the 30-plus mile per hour winds. So regardless of whether they get a lot or not, we're going tonight.
Hey, it's just an extra night in the hotel enjoying rewards points.
Well, let me put it this way. By the time Wednesday rolls around, it'll be 11 days. And in those 11 days, we will have spent 7 of the 11 on the road.
Yeah, I believe that.
So that's getting to be a little bit, I mean, I'm not saying it's getting to be a little bit much, but, you know, Penn State doesn't play its fourth home game in the Jordan Center in the Big Ten season until Saturday. Everybody's already got five in. Well, it's not easy.
Are you doing live reports then tonight from Iowa for Jennifer in the newsroom?
I can tell you in no uncertain terms an easy answer. No.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades, and they've done so with great distinction. They put their customers first. And if you have a claim, they act as if it happened to them. They are that committed to making sure that you get complete coverage all the time and the best service possible. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to bring in the head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll get to this date in sports history after we talk with Nathan. Nathan, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
All right. You beat Army 94-66. Not a foul and had 19 points, 9 boards in that game. How well an all-around game did he play for you?
He was very good. He was aggressive. He attacked the basket from the beginning of the game. Gave us a tremendous presence in the post. They were trying to play him one-on-one in there, and he was able to take advantage of it.
Okay, when you look at your team at this stage, you're 9-1 in conference play. About 49% of your points are coming from two-point range, about 26% coming from the three-point range. Is that pretty good balance as to how you like to see Bucknell play out offensively?
Yeah, I think so. And we're also, like you mentioned those two, I think we're doing a pretty good job getting the free throw line, too. So we're doing a good job of having an inside-out attack, of taking what's given to us but not relying on one thing, being able to take advantage of however people want to play us. So it's been good so far.
Okay, we talked about the ability of the point guard to go inside-out for you before. Let me talk about your post players. Have they done a good job of feeling, sensing doubles and kicking the ball back out for open threes? Is that something they've improved on?
I think they've all been very unselfish in there. It's been interesting in that we haven't seen, other than a couple times, a ton of double teams in there. And I think it goes back to people looking at the Chris Hosses and the guys on the perimeter saying they don't want to leave them open, which has left us one-on-one a bit. And now that those guys are getting a little bit more action inside, I think it's going to open up the perimeter again as well.
Right. What about the ability to post and repost? Are you the kind of guy, team that, to this point, when it comes time to post, to me, a legitimate post is at least getting half a foot inside in the paint when you catch the ball? Are you getting the ball in good spots?
Yeah, I think we're doing a good job. We're getting a lot with 2 feet in, to be honest with you, because our guys have been unselfish, so the balls been going side to side, forcing their big men have to help, and our bigs have done a great job of making contact and stealing them in the lane. So we've gotten a lot of 2 foot in the post or 2 foot in the paint touches.
Okay, you only gave up 64 points in the game. Is the defense getting better and the defensive communication getting better?
I think there's no doubt about it. And even when we're playing really hard, you got to give our guys a lot of credit for the effort they give out every night. They're giving everything they have when they're in there. They're flying around. So even when we're out of position, we're making second and third efforts. We're getting deflections. And all that leads to some easy opportunities in transition going the other way.
Yeah. The transition part. Do you like the way you're handling transition offense, but also transition defense?
Transition defense, we're not where we need to be yet. We're still working on that, as we are with everything. But offensive in transition, when we get rebounds and we get up the floor and guys sprint, we've been getting good looks.
You have back-to-back road games coming up. Typical within the conference as to how you play it. You've got to go to American, then you got Holy Cross coming up. Let's start. Is there a? I know you want to attack each game the same, but is there such thing, Nathan, as a road mentality?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you got to go in, and you got to go into every game this way, but especially on the road, where you got to understand that it's going to come down to, if you're going to be really good, you got to be able to beat people when you can't score. So it's going to come down to defense, rebounding, limiting turnovers, so that you give yourself a chance. And then if you're making shots, that's what really gets a chance to separate you. But you got to be able to go in with that mentality. You're going to do all those little things right to give yourself a chance to win.
How do you feel about your team's poise? Do you feel like, for the most part, you got the coolest cats in the building?
I think recently we have. Early in the year, we were not playing that way, but I think some of the struggles early on, the good competition we played, has shown that we can play with adversity now. I'd like to think that's going to continue. It's kind of a game to game thing, but we've been doing a good job of, when things aren't going well, playing through it, staying together, not getting rattled, and giving ourselves a chance. Like, we're up at Boston U a few weeks ago, got down 17, never got rattled, just kind of chipped away. Next thing you knew, 6-7 minutes later, it was a 3-point game. Didn't try to do it all at once, but played together and played smart and didn't panic.
You're now hitting the second half of the schedule, which means it's repeat opponents just at the different location. Do you keep things relatively the same, or do you add in a little wrinkle here, a little wrinkle there that maybe they didn't see the first time?
You're constantly adding wrinkles. We're looking at the way we were guarded, what they were trying to do to us, trying to figure out new wrinkles we can add at both ends to try to help ourselves. And also, teams are doing some different things now, so you got to address that. But you're still really looking hard at what you did well before, what they did well before. How can you adjust to take some of those things away? So to answer your question, yes, we've got a lot of little wrinkles going in each week right now.
For you as the coach, how much is it about you, and how much do you want to look at them?
It's a balance. We try to – the way we approach it, and the great thing with our league is most of the games are Wednesday, Saturday. So you really get 2 days between these games. So we try to take Mondays and Thursdays and really focus on ourselves. And we might start identifying some areas. If we need the other teams big on ball screens, we might address that area with ourselves as well a little bit too. But we try to take Mondays and Thursdays and focus more on ourselves, with Tuesdays and Fridays more on the opponent.
Yeah. At this point, when you talk to them – and you try to deliver messages, how do you feel about the communication between coach and player, player and coach at this stage?
I think it's been good. I think our guys are really are buying into the idea. It's a one-game thing. What we can do is worry about being 1-0 on Wednesday and getting ourselves prepared the next 2 days to give us a chance to do that. Can't look at standings, can't look at what happened last time, all that stuff. You have to just focus on the moment and do everything you can to make sure you give your best effort each day.
All right, you played American already. You beat them at home. Now you got to go on the road. I think it's down at Bender this time. Give us a quick thumbnail sketch on them as to what's going to be important on the checklist Wednesday night.
Well, interestingly, unfortunately, we like to go up and down. They play out of 351 schools in Division I. They are the 351st in pace of play.
Yes, they are. I looked at that. In fact, when I was going through the Penn State-Iowa thing to see where they were, I looked to see who was at the bottom, and I started to laugh. I said, oh, here it is. It's the real them in team.
it's amazing. We're talking about today. You look at the number of times where they don't even seem at times to look to score until 5-10 seconds left on the shot clock. So being able to be disciplined defensively, to focus for the entire possession, understanding that they're going to take their time and wait for you to make a mistake and then really try to attack. And then understanding at the same time, once they do and you force them to take a tough shot, if you don't box out, you're going to have to play defense for another 30 seconds. So locking in defensively and doing it right and being consistent with it will be a big thing. And then offensively against them, they play a lot of switching man-to-man. It's going to be varying cuts, still getting the ball side-to-side and sharing it. I mean, we're at our best when we share the ball. We put up, 94 points the other day, had 25 assists on 40 made field goals. So when the ball is moving and we're being unselfish and driving and kicking and throwing it in and kicking it out and all those things, that's when we're at our best.
Sometimes in my experience of doing games, watching, for example, Northwestern was always a team that liked to slow things down. And one of the things that you always had to guard against was, great, we stopped them. And all of a sudden, boom, let's go down. Let's take a shot. And sometimes you want to exercise patience. Is patience going to be important for you offensively once you finally get the ball?
Yeah, it always is, and we still want to do the same things. If we can get those open threes or the shots in the lanes or layups in 6 or 7 seconds, we're going to take them every time. But you got to understand that they're well coached. They're going to be a defensive, disciplined defensive team, that if they're not there, that we're going to have to earn that. We just don't want to force shots. We want to take our shots on our terms.
How do you feel about how you've handled – I asked you earlier about defense and trusting each other on the floor. Have you been able to get the number of steals that you want to kind of facilitate and get back into the offense quickly?
I think so. I think we've gotten much better. And really the stat we look at a lot for us is deflections more than anything else. We're getting deflections on passes and things. We're being very active. Saturday, we made the run against Army from down 7 with, I guess, about 16 minutes left in the first half. To the end, we got 19 deflections in about 15 minutes. And that's when we really took control of the game and got it to going up 14. And that was a big deal. Well, that means you're forcing the action. You're keeping them off balance. They're not getting comfortable. They're having to worry about your presence defensively. And it gives you a lot of energy.
Fabulous. Great run, 9-1. Good luck at America and good luck up in Worcester against Holy Cross. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you. We guys have a great week.
Yeah, thank you. Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Coming up, Joe Person, Charlotte Observer, to talk about the Super Bowl from the Panthers' point of view. Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Kevin later in the after show on video games. In fact, Kevin has a video game already of the NBA Finals. There's no need to watch it. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's like all over and over again.
What was that?
This day in sports history, 1913, Jim Thorpe signed a contract to play baseball with the New York Giants. In 1968, Vince Lombardi resigned as the coach of the Green Bay Packers. He was replaced by Phil Bengston, who took over an aging Packer roster. 1 year later, Lombardi was back as the head coach of the Washington Redskins and also the team vice president. 1992, Barry Bonds signed the highest single-season contract, at that time $4.7 million a year. The Steelers won their last Super Bowl on this date in 2009 when they beat the Arizona Cardinals. That's their sixth and last Super Bowl championship. And 2015, Tom Brady, Super Bowl record, 37 completions, leading the Patriots past the Seattle Seahawks. That is this day in sports history. So, the Arizona game was the James Harrison play, which may have been, you can argue, is one of the five greatest plays in the history of the Super Bowl. It's a 14-point swing. It wins the game for them.
No question.
How nobody tackled him is beyond me, because they all had plenty of time to get there.
I was just hoping he didn't run out of gas. He's hitting about the 30-yard line on the other side of the 50, and he's starting to shut it down, not because he wanted to, but because he was out of gas.
And
I'm like, somebody pick him up. Somebody push him.
And the other part, too, was I thought Roethlisberger was the MVP of the game. I thought he was completely brilliant. The way he played the entire game, the way he brought them back, calm, cool, collected out there. Yeah, I just thought Roethlisberger was, I thought that was his finest moment. He's had some great ones over the year. He had a 500-yard passing day against Green Bay. That day he had this year out at Seattle with Antonio Brown completely out of the mix. He still threw for almost 500 using Whedon and Bryant and the great games that they had. He's had some great days. The Super Bowl, I thought, was his finest moment.
Which was the better catch? Santonio Holmes in the back corner of the end zone tiptoeing, or Wheaton's catch on his hamstring?
Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. The Wheaton catch was pretty impressive, but I agree with you. I think the Santonio Holmes catch, because of the type of game it was, like the platform being the Super Bowl, and the fact that I still have no idea how he got a toe down, let alone two.
Well, it was a great that was one of the great Super Bowls.
What was it? SI that had that amazing picture, the only real good picture of his feet.
Yeah. Yep. So, but that was a long time ago. That was years and years ago. So
feels like yesterday to me.
Sure it does feel like yesterday to you. But it's been a while since I've been there.
10 years.
No, it's not 10 years.
Ten years since they won.
I thought that game was in 2009.
I thought that was 40.
No.
they won after 40. 40 is the one where they beat the that was a one where maybe the worst officiated Super Bowl ever.
that's the one terrible. In Denver. That's the one in Denver.
That's the one in Detroit.
Or Detroit, rather. Sorry, I meant to say
they
Detroit.
They beat Seattle, and that game was so poorly officiated. It was, like, stunning.
It was not good.
It swung the game to the Steelers.
You're right. It was 09. That was 43.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Yeah, 43, then
the last Super Bowl they were in, they lost. So
right, that was 45.
Aaron Rodgers picked them apart, and that was not one of Ben's better moments in that one because they lost half their secondary, and he still couldn't beat them.
Still a close game.
Repeating once again, the Packers lost half their secondary in the game.
I know.
Okay, that's not good. That's not good when you're going up against their backups and they're still shutting you down.
That was also the controversial game with 103,000 and a bunch of seats that didn't exist.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you want to ask the question. You mentioned the Thursday night football thing.
Right.
NBC gets 5, CBS gets 5. We already said 2 weeks ago it was going to be split. So it's not as if we didn't say to expect this. It's what we expected. They get 5, and then NFL Network gets 8. Now it's a 17-week season, so obviously there must be some Saturday nights in there. So that's how they're going to split it up. And it's a 2-year contract, just gets them more money. The question is, where's the top out for the NFL? Where is it? You have a series of cities right now, for example, which the NFL arrogantly says are not NFL-worthy cities. I mean, they're very blunt about St. Louis not being an NFL-worthy city. I realize St. Louis does have its problems, but they do have major industry there in St. Louis. Obviously, Anheuser-Busch is there. Obviously, Ralston Purina is there. I mean, you've got some major industry in the St. Louis area that can help then fund. I think First National's there as well. And this will help fund what you want to do. Now, St. Louis also does have a crime problem. I believe the latest crime stat had St. Louis as one of the 5 American cities worldwide that was in the top 50 in the crime stats. And I understand all that. But you don't start labeling cities as not being worthy of your product. Obviously, I was just in one a month ago. Obviously, I was in Jacksonville. And there are a lot of people that say, well, Jacksonville's not quite, you know. Like, if Green Bay's worthy, a lot of people are worthy. Just, you know, you could put a franchise really anywhere. If you have a great stadium, luxury suites, and so forth, the TV deal is enough to make anybody profitable in this ballgame and competitive because the TV deal matches the salary cap number. You can be competitive with anybody based on market. You don't have to be in New York or Los Angeles. I mean, if that's the case, why do the Giants have 4 Super Bowls and the Jets have 1? I mean, the New York Jets have 1 Super Bowl. They haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl III. And why is it Green Bay, Wisconsin has 4? Why is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which the population's falling repeatedly year after year, have 6? And that's, you can spread the wealth around. I mean, Charlotte, North Carolina is a smaller market than many in the NFL. You know, they're in the Super Bowl, ultra competitive. So
the one thing I didn't understand about this new deal with CBS, NBC, and NFL Network, they're still going to simulcast the same broadcast on NBC or CBS and NFL Network. That doesn't make any sense to me, wouldn't you? Why not do something different on NFL Network? Why the same exact broadcast on both networks?
Because NFL Network is the NFL channel.
Right, I understand that.
And so you want to keep it 17 consecutive weeks of consistent programming. And there's nothing wrong with them carrying the game. Zero.
What's wrong with them carrying the game?
I don't think there's a problem with it. I'm just saying do it in a different way. Maybe that's broadcast, you have everything else, but you just have the overhead camera.
No, Kevin. Oh, okay.
I know you're a traditionalist. I understand.
There's nothing to do with being traditionalist. I think they're trying to bring the game to you in so many different ways that most of the new ways are garbage. I watched a little bit of the Pro Bowl last night. They kept doing everything. Some shots from Spider Cam. Knock it off. Show me the game. I mean, they're being too clever.